It was all by rock.
Or is it by rock?
No, by rock.
Morning, John.
How are you?
Good gosh. So you may recall that we started this Rashba. I want to just finish it up. The Rashba quotes a strange minhag of Rashi in the name of the Talmidim of Rashi. Shayamashkim Likros, when he woke up early, he would read Torah, and first, Hayamavarech Likros Batorah. And as we pointed out a number of times, that when you begin learning Torah, you have to first start with Kriyas HaTorah, with Birchas HaTorah. And Birchas HaTorah is a matir for Talmud Torah. And then, Rashi Kshayaholech Lebeis HaKnesses, Chozer Umavarech. When he got to Shul, he would be Mavarech a second time, Birchas HaTorah. And obviously the question is, why isn't that a Bracha Levatol? He's just repeating the same brachas that he recited earlier. He says Kimo, and he would do it Osan Ayom, and just like he on those days Shalom Hishkim Likros, and even though on these days that he was Mashkim Likros, he was Mevarech Berchas HaTorah, nevertheless he would repeat Berchas HaTorah when he came to the Beis HaKnesses. Minosein Tam Lidvarov, Kimo Shakori B'Torah Mevarech Berchas HaTorah, V'lo Chashiva Bracha Levatol, V'Afal Pishikvar Birech Kodem. Parshas Karbonos, Ezim Akoman, Rabbi Shmuel, Bahu Adin Hacha, Lo Chashiva Bracha Levatola. So let's raise two questions. One question we've already answered, we've already addressed, but let's repeat it. And then a second question, which I don't think we addressed yet. The first question is, why was Rashi so keen on reciting Birchas HaTorah twice? Why wasn't once sufficient? And that question I think we answered. I hope you remember that. I sort of summarized it here on the Maror Makomos page today. And that is that we derive from the Rambam, if you remember, that there are two dimensions to Kriyas HaTorah. There's Birchas HaTorah as a matir, because you're not allowed to learn Torah, just like you're not allowed to perform a mitzvah without a bracha. And first you have to recite the bracha. The bracha is a matir. That allows Talmud Torah. And Rashi fulfilled that matir when he got up early and he recited Birchas HaTorah before he embarked upon learning Torah. That was number one. But then there's a second dimension to Talmud Torah, second din. And that is a chiyuv on a daily basis to embellish Torah with Birchas HaTorah. That forms a unit, an entity to be mitzaref Talmud Torah with Birchas HaTorah. And that is a chiyuv b'chol yom. And even if Rashi got up early and he fulfilled Birchas HaTorah in the first round, that's only b'toras matir to allow him to read the Torah. But now when day emerges with daybreak, and now he has a chiyuv on a daily basis to embellish Talmud Torah with Birchas HaTorah, so that Rashi fulfilled later on. But the second question that I want to address today is, what does Rashi mean by equating his situation to that of Korei B'Torah? In the case of his personal situation, I understand that he recited Birchas HaTorah before he started learning. And then why would he recite Birchas HaTorah a second time? And we gave our explanation. What was bothering Rashi about the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah that applies prior to Kriyas HaTorah? Why did Rashi feel that that too requires some sort of explanation? Kimo shakori b'Torah mivarech Birchas HaTorah. Oh, so Rashi asks, v'loch shiva bracha levatola, meaning at first glance we would have said that Birchas HaTorah over Kriyas HaTorah is a bracha levatola. The afal pi shekvar birech Kodem, he already recited Birchas HaTorah earlier, meaning B'toras Matir, he's already covered his bases in his personal Birchas HaTorah, which he recited before he recited Parshas HaKarbonos, Parshas Ein Mekomon, etc., etc., Rabbi Shmuel. He embarked upon Limud Torah on a personal basis. He doesn't need a martyr. And that's true for everyone in the call. So therefore, when you call up someone for an aliyah and he recites Birchas HaTorah before a kriya, that itself should be a bracha levatola. He's already recited the bracha before he started learning on a personal basis. And the answer is that although the first bracha is meaningful as what? As a matir, you need the second bracha as a kium. And what mitzvah engenders that kium of reciting the brachas a second time before Kriyas HaTorah? Apparently Rashi says there must be some sort of need, some sort of kiyum, a requirement to embellish the Kriyas HaTorah, in this case the Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur, with brachos, to form that entity of brachos together with the Kriyas HaTorah. And therefore, even though you already recited on a personal basis your Birchas HaTorah is a matir, nevertheless you require another Birchas HaTorah to embellish the Torah itself with brachos. And that applies to Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur, and Rashi by analogy wants to derive the same principle, the same conclusion with regard to my own personal Birchas HaTorah. Again, let's just go over the logic one more time. To the same extent that although before I got my aliyah for Kriyas HaTorah, I already recited my Birchas HaTorah, and therefore I covered my basis as far as my Torah learning is concerned. My Torah learning has already been preceded by a brachas, I'm okay. And now when I get called up in the Torah, why do I have to recite brachas again? The answer is that in addition to the dimension of matir, I have another kiyum, and that's the kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah together in Birchoseha. So too on a personal level, Rashi said that even though I fulfilled my need for a matir to allow me to study Torah, and that was with the first recitation of Birchos Torah, I still need a second recitation of Birchos HaTorah in order to be mekayim my chiyuv to embellish my Torah with brachos. That seems to be the pshat in Rashi.
There's three dimensions.
What were you saying?
There's three dimensions.
Wait, just one second. Yeah. What were you saying, Michael? Michael's leaving soon, so we have to give him schus kedima.
Yeah. He's learning his second bracha from Birchas HaTorah.
I wouldn't say he's learning it. I think the logic stands on its own 2 feet, independent of Birchas HaTorah, B'Kriyas HaTorah, B'Tzibur. But he's using it as an example. He's using it as an analogy. Just like we find that Birchas HaTorah plays a second role in addition to being a matir. It stands to require repetition for the sake of a kiyum, in order to take Torah and embellish that Torah with brachos. So too on a personal level, by parallel, I too have to fulfill my obligation to embellish my Torah with brachos on a daily basis, despite the fact that I've already recited the brachos as a matir. So I would say it's not a derivation, it's a dimyon, it's an analogy.
Two points. So if Rashi was not saying Min Kodif and he'll end up saying Birchot three times, the Mashgim.
Correct.
Brachot the morning and other. The thing is, Rashi possibly following that shit that says you have to say Brachot, if you be mafsik during the day, you have to make Birchot again, or we can't see?
I would say the following. The issue of whether or not if you are mafsik, you have to, again, I would add one phrase to the word mafsik, because sometimes the word mafsik means sicha.
Heskadas.
That's how I would embellish it with Heskadas. And we had an issue whether Heskadas would engender a new chiyuv of bracha. And I would say the following. If you're dealing with Birchas HaTorah as a cube to embellish Torah with brachos, that I fulfilled already once, that's a daily chiyuv, there's no need to repeat the brachos a second time, despite Heskadas. But if you're talking about Torah's matir, then what you want to do is you want to compare it to Birchas HaTorah. Excuse me, you want to compare it to Birchas HaMitzvah. And just like in Birchas HaMitzvah, if there was a hefsek of a Hesech Hadas, and Tosfos vacillates back and forth about Sicha, but if there was a bona fide Hesech Hadas, you would require a second bracha. Logically, I would derive the same conclusion as far as Birchas HaTorah, B'Torah, Birchas HaMitzvah, B'Torah, Birchas HaMatir, as we called it. However, we pointed out that the bracha is not on the Maisa Limud, but it's on the Esek HaTorah. And therefore it could be that we still have a little bit of an opening here, that we can defend the position that even Rashi would hold. There's no need, even after Esek Hadas, to repeat the Birchas HaTorah. Because after a while, Daniel, you're going to be racking up so many Birchas HaTorah during the course of the day. I would say one, for Rashi, one, two, and maybe even three if he gets an Aliyah that day. Four, I don't know. I'd be hesitant to say. Daniel.
When he learns really early in the morning, that's part of the previous day.
Oh, so you have to assume that he went to sleep. If Rashi stayed up the whole night, then you've got a problem. My premise is that Rashi went to sleep. Again, how long Rashi slept, I don't know. Maybe there are testimonies about that. I assume he didn't sleep the 8 hours that I sleep, you know, although lately, I don't know, it's been rough. But in any event, he slept for a while, and then he had a Hesek Hadas. He had to require another bracha as a matir because Hishkim Likros.
And also, we're seeing from here that Kriya Satorah, learning Torah in Sibor and not in Sibor,
right,
are completely
excellent,
separate.
Excellent, Daniel. So that's part two of today's Shia. Okay. Part one was sort of a review with a little bit of an embellishment from yesterday's, from the last Shia. Part two, today's Shia, is to try to define this Kiyum HaMitzvah, this entity which the Halacha requires, of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur embellished with brachos. And I think the place to begin our discussion would be the Mishnah in Masechet Megillah on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah establishes, with regard to a whole list of cases, that you require Asara Miyisrael, no less than 10, a quorum of Jews will suffice. And on that list it says, Ein Korin B'Torah B'Tzibur Pachos Me Asara. So you need 10 people. The sugya goes on to explain that why do you need 10 people in all those cases listed in the Mishnah? And the answer is because of the rule, Ein Dover Shebekdusha Pachos Me'asara. And that's derived from Eda, etc., etc., last week's parish and the Meraglim, and so forth and so on. So now the question I want to ask you is the following. On that list, we have Chazaras Hashatz, and we have Parson Al Hashma. They require Asara. That's the principle of Ein Dorish Mekdusha Pachos Me'asara. And here, I have no problem. And I'll tell you why. Because in both of these cases, we have a Dorish Mekdusha literally. Kipshuto, we have Kedusha. It's like, I'll just mention to you what we recite every morning in Birchas Kriya Shema. You recall, Hashem Ha'el HaMelech HaKadol HaGibor V'Anor HaKadosh Hu V'Chulam Mekavim Aleim O Malchus Shemayim. And they go on, this is referring to the Malachim, Nosnu Meshuz Zelazel L'Haktish Yotzim Nachas Ruach, etc., etc., is Kedusha Kulam Ki'echad Onim V'Yomim V'Yira Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh. The Balei Tefillah already define Kedusha as a Dovah Shemekdusha. That is a Dovah Shemekdusha, by definition. But then when we get to Kriya HaTorah, and that also is listed in the Mishnah Megillah, also requires Asara, and for the very same reason to activate the principle of Ein Dovah Shemekdusha Pachos Me'asara, then we ask ourselves the question, what makes Kriya HaTorah a Dovah Shemekdusha? I mean, I read the parasha in the Torah, or part of the parasha. I didn't say anything about Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. What gives it the status of a Dovah Shemekdusha? And I was thinking that first and foremost, every Ola LeTorah begins with what? What is the first declaration? Baruch Hashem Avorach. Baruch Hashem Avorach means that we as a community, as a Tzibur B'Yisrael, are thanking or praising Hashem. That's no different than Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. To the same extent that in Kedusha we sing the praises of Hashem, and that makes it a Dorash of a Kedusha. So too, when we recite the praises of Hashem with Baruch Hu, that itself upgrades the mitzvah to that of a Dorash of a Kedusha. However, maybe Elokeinu itself is a Dorash of a Kedusha. I don't know. It's not listed. It's not listed in the Mishnah, so I'm tempted to think that the Mishnah deliberately omitted it because it's not a Dorash of a Kedusha. Why is that so? I don't know. But what I would like to ask you the following, just one second, Daniel. It's very nice to say that Baruch Hu Hashem HaMevorach transforms or upgrades Kriyas HaTorah to the level of a Darshan Kedush. That's very nice and dandy. But that's not what the Mishnah says. You know, we're adding words to the Mishnah, which I hesitate to do, because the Mishnah says that the Kriyas HaTorah itself is a Darshan Kedusha. The Mishnah doesn't mention a word about Baruch Hu. If the Mishnah wanted to say something about Baruch Hu, which makes it a Darshan Kedusha, the Mishnah should have added that stipulation. Would it be, for example, if we read the Torah publicly without Baruch Hu, without reciting those words, therefore the Kriyas HaTorah would not have the status and the kiyum of Darshan Kedusha? Possibly yes. Or possibly Kriyas HaTorah itself is a Darshan Kedusha. Oh, what makes Kriyas HaTorah into a Darshan Kedusha? Sefer Torah makes it a Darshan Kedusha? Does it mean, for example, that Kiddush HaChodesh, you know, yesterday we were Mekadesh, 2 days ago we were Mekadesh Levana, you know, we took the Sefer Torah, and then at Mincha time we had a yard site, so we said a Kel Moli Ra. I mean, I'm not sure that Sefer Torah per se engenders the status of a Darshan Kedusha. Okay, let's see if we can embellish that, okay?
Could you start back? What is the definition of
a Darshan Kedusha? What is the definition of a Darshan Kedusha? If it's Kadosh, 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 if it's Baruch HaShem HaMavorach, if we are all together as one entity of a Tzibur, we are thanking and praising Hashem, that's a Darshan Kedusha. That I understand. But why would Kriyas HaTorah itself be a Darshan Kedusha? And I'd like to suggest that maybe the answer lies in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel. The Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel here in Brachos raises the question as to why the parasha of Shema is first on the agenda. Why do we follow that order and put Shema before V'hayim Shema? And the Mishnah answers, because Shema has an element that's very unique, and that's Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. V'hayim Shema is Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. But we begin with Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Now it's fascinating to me that when the Rambam quotes this halacha, he changes the nusach of the Mishnah. I don't know if you noticed it. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Kriyat Shema says, Ma'u kore shalosh parshios, v'im shemoa, shema v'im shemoa. He says, U'maktim likros parsha shema, mipnei sheyesh ba tzivui al, and here I would add two dots, A, B, and C. Number one, Yichud Hashem, that's Echad. Number two, V'ahavto is Havaso. And number three, V'talmudo V'shinantam Levanecha. And then the Ram goes ahead and gives it a grade. He says, if I had to grade it, I would say Shahu, meaning Talmudo, which is Talmud Torah, I'ikar ha'gadol shakol tolibo. Everything depends upon it. In other words, Rabosai, when we commit ourselves to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah v'shinantam levanecha, that commitment is not just to the abstract intellectual involvement in Talmud Torah. But what makes Talmud Torah so great? The Rambam says it's the ikar agodol shakol tolibo. What does he mean, akol tolibo? Godol Talmud amevi? Lidei maisa. It means that what is the Rambam wants to define what is Kabbalah Soma, and what makes Kriyat Shema, the first parasha of Shema, a parasha which embodies Kabbalah Soma Shema. And the Mishnah doesn't answer that question. The Rambam decides to address that question, and he has three different elements. He says, number one, Yichud Hashem, the fact that God is one, everything in the universe exists only because of God's existence, etc., etc. That's called Yichud Hashem. Number two, Avas Hashem, I dedicate myself totally and exclusively to that Ava relationship. And number three, but what is it? How do I go about fulfilling my Kabbalah Soul Machish? Give me a substance, you know, something I can sink my teeth into. For example, at our Sinai, we said Nasa. Fine, Nasa, but Nasa what? You know, give me a substance. Give me a plan here, a step by step instruction as to how I should fulfill my commitment to Hashem. I was mekabel. The answer is Nishma. Nishma means let's listen to the Torah. The Shmiah of Divrei Torah itself is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. And if that be the case, perhaps we could suggest that when the Tzibur gathers together to read the Torah, It's an implicit, shall we say, Kabbalah Satorah. And Kabbalah Satorah, says the Rambam, is identical with Kabbalah's O Malchus Shamayim. That's what Kabbalah means. We're not just reciting the Torah, reading the Torah. It's more than that. We are making a commitment to Torah itself. And then the halacha requires that when we read the Torah, Bifnei Asorim Yisrael, we have to embellish that reading of the Torah with brachos. We start with brachos Hashem Amavorach, and we call everyone to attention. And then we recite the brachos of Asher Bachar Banim Mikol Amim, etc., etc. What we're doing now is we're taking that Kabbalah's O Malchus Shamayim and we're placing it into a framework. A framework which has an introduction and, if you will, an epilogue. We are sandwiching that act of Kriyas HaTorah between two bookends, between the Bracha Lefaneh and the Bracha Lachareha. That entity is a fulfillment of a chiyuv that's incumbent upon the tzibur to create an entity called Davar Shebekedusha. Davar Shebekedusha, my friends, is not just reciting Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. It's not just gathering together as a tzibur to thank Hashem and sing God's praises. That for sure. But more than that, it's to sing God's praises because He gave us the Torah so that we can accept upon ourselves Malchus Shamayim, that God is our sovereign ruler. We are committed to fulfill His every will. And what's fascinating to me is that Nehemiah records what Ezra did when he read the Torah publicly. And those psukim in the 8th chapter of Nehemiah are the psukim from which we derive the obligation to read the Torah as Ezra was misakin. Obviously, there was Moshe Rabbeinu's takana before Ezra. But the pasuk says, "Ukshepascho," when they opened up the Sefer Torah, "Amdu kol ha'am." That's interesting. I want to come back to this in a minute. They stood. And then Vayivarech Ezra es Hashem HaElokim HaGadol. He starts before he reads the Torah publicly with a bracha. Vayivarech es Hashem HaElokim HaGadol. He praises God. And then Vayanu Kol Ha'am Amen V'Amen. And I was thinking out loud that Rabbi Menuchah's bracha says that anytime you hear someone make a bracha, you answer Amen. That's a universal rule in all brachas. Is that what's going on here in Ezra? There's a special halacha here that the bracha of the kore, in this case Ezra, has to be related to the entire tzibur. In order to upgrade the kriya into a kriya that's embellished by brachos, in order to indicate that this act of Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim begins and ends with a bracha to Hashem, how do we take the kore's bracha and link it to every member of the tzibur? Is vi'anu kol ha'am amen vi'amen. They have to hear the bracha and they have to respond to amen. True, you always have to respond to amen to a bracha. That's a general rule. But it has a specific role and it plays a definite contribution here when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. Ezra was establishing through his koach, through his authority, a takana of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. And he required it to be a bracha before and after the kriya, and that bracha has to relate not just to the kore, not just to the mevarech as an individual, but to the tzibur as a tzibur, and therefore vi'anu kol ha'am amen vi'amen. But Rabosai, I want to throw out another possible idea here as to why Kriyas HaTorah is a davar shebekedusha. If you take a look in the Yerushalmi at the beginning of the fourth perek of Megillah, the Yerushalmi says the following. An interesting story here. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak oil l'knishta. He went into the Beis HaKnesses. Chom and he saw Chad Barnash, one individual that was somech somech la'amuda. He was leaning on a pole. Amar lei asur l'cha. You're not allowed to lean back on a pole, on a pillar. Why? Kishem shenitna bi'ema ubi'ira, kach anu tzrichem linog ba bi'ema v'ira. If you take a look at the Mefarshim, they say that Reb Shmuel Barav entered into the Beis HaKnesses and the Torah was being read publicly. And this individual, Reb Shmuel notices, is leaning back on a pillar. He said, oh no, 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 that's unacceptable. Kishem shenitna Torah b'ema v'yira, just like the Torah was given b'ema v'yira, right? All the psukim in Parshas Yisro that describe the giving of the Torah with ema and yira, kach anu tzrichem linog ba b'ema v'yira. It means, Rabosai, that our Kriyas HaTorah is a duplication of what? Of Maimon Har Sinai. And it's very interesting, the next line in the Yerushalmi says, Kishem shenitnu Torah al yidei sirsur, kach anu tzrichem linog ba al yidei sirsur. Means you have to have, the Baal Kori has to be flanked on both sides. And it's interesting, the Ramban Shulchan Aruch paskins that you should stand for Kriyas HaTorah. And he quotes the Agos Maimonios, who quotes this Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says that our Kriyas HaTorah has to be B'ema V'yira. You know, if you're sitting or if you're leaning on a pillar, that's not called Ema V'yira. And therefore, if Kriyas HaTorah is a duplication of Kabbalah HaTorah at the Har Sinai, if the halachas reflect a repetition of Maimon Har Sinai, then what could be a greater kiyum of Kabbalas Omal Chashamayim than Talmud Torah? And how much of a Darish of Kedusha is it when that Limud Torah is a Talmud Torah Deravim, when the entire community of Klal Yisrael, and we discussed at great length how every Asar Yisrael is a microcosm, a representative of Klal Yisrael, of Knesset Yisrael Kula, they accept upon themselves the Torah, they embellish that Kriyas HaTorah with brachos, and they are basically recreating Kabbalas HaTorah B'Har Sinai. That's an amazing, amazing concept. And therefore, it makes sense, getting back to our Rashi, quoted by the Rashba, that all these takanos in Kriyas HaTorah reflect the fact that although as an individual you already recited Birchas HaTorah, and you are Mekayim, your need for a matir, and in addition to that, you will mevarich Kriyas HaTorah, Birchas HaTorah second time if you are Rashi. Because in addition to the matir, you now need the kium of taking your Talmud Torah and embellishing it with brachos. How much more so in the case of Kriyas HaTorah B'tzivah, which is going to begin with Baruch HaShem Amvorach, and as Ezra established Kriyas HaTorah, V'anu kol ha'am, Amen V'amen, that participation in a sandwich of brachos and Talmud Torah is to create an entity of Dorosh B'Kedusha. That bracha now plays a whole new role. It's not the bracha of a matir. It's not even the bracha to establish my chiyuv and my kiyum of Talmud Torah on a personal level. Now it gets upgraded to the status of a Dorosh B'Kedusha, Ein Dorosh B'Kedusha Pachos Me'asara, and that's because we embellish the public reading of the Torah with brachos. And you should know that there's a machlokes, what do you do if you came late to Kriyas HaTorah and you didn't hear Baruchas Hashem HaMavorach? My Rebbe used to say in the name of his uncle, the Brisker Rav, that the Brisker Rav told him, they were once together in Brisk, he was a young boy, and he said, I came late and I missed Baruchas Hashem HaMavorach, we got to find another shul. And we got to get another minyan, so that when we hear Kriyas HaTorah, we can hear Baruchas Hashem HaMavorach, Leolam Vayt. Meaning he felt, the Brisker Rav, that the Baruchu is such an integral part of the Brachos, and therefore an integral part of the Kriyas HaTorah, that without it, you're not Yotze. Don't worry, Rabosai, most of the poskim don't accept this, so you're okay. But if you want to be a real Hesed Brisker, you know, you have to hear Baruchas Hashem HaMavorach. Yeah, but he missed the first one. And if he missed the first one, then that Aliyah was missing for him, because that Aliyah was not elevated to the status of a Dorosh of Kedusha. It's the Baruchu that, which is the Vayivarech Ezra, Elokim HaGadol, that itself is part and parcel of the Kriyas HaTorah. Okay. Now, Rabosai, there's an interesting Rashi that I wanted to point out to you on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph. The Gemara there says, "Minayin lebirchas haTorah lefaneh min haTorah," and the Gemara says, "Shenemar ki shem Hashem ekra havu godol elokeinu." Now, sometimes we read this Gemara and we don't pay attention to it. Meaning, let's go back to this pasuk and put it into its context, and that's exactly what Rashi does for us. Rashi says, "Ki shem Hashem ekra." Kishaba Moshe liftach b'divrei shira, Amar lahem liYisrael ani avarech tchila v'atem anu acharai amehim. This is fascinating. Rashi's telling us that, you know, the pasuk says kisvu lachem es hashira zos. The Torah says that the Chazal tell us that the Torah itself is called a shira. When Moshe Rabbeinu is reading the Shira, meaning reading the Torah, he calls together the people of Israel and he tells them that I'm going to begin my Kriya with a bracha. And that's Kishem Hashem Ekra. And then Rashi says, what's Havu Godol Elokeinu? Rashi says, Vatem Anu Acharai Omehim. Exactly what we saw in Sefer Nehemiah about Ezra, when he was misaking Kriyas HaTorah publicly, we see here in Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is the basis for Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzivur, which was established by Moshe Rabbeinu, and requires that a Kriya be preceded by a Bracha, and that the tzibur recite Amen. So the real meaning, says Rashi, in its original form of Kishem Hashem Ekra V'Godol Elokeinu, is with regard to Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur, you begin with a bracha, and then you continue by reciting the Torah, by reading the Torah. That package deal is written and derived from this pasuk. And that's the way Moshe established it. And the bracha of Moshe as the Koreh has to relate to the entire tzibur. How did Moshe achieve that goal? Says Rashi, Atem Anu Acharai Amen. But keep in mind that Rabbi Yochanan, according to almost all Rishonim, is deriving from this pasuk an individual private obligation on a daily basis to recite the brachas over the Torah before reading Torah, before learning Torah. It means that just like the tzibur embellishes the Kriyas HaTorah with brachos, so to the individual, even on days when there is no Kriyas HaTorah, or even in his personal learning of Torah, studying of Torah, has to embellish his Talmud Torah with Kishem Hashem Ekra, with brachos. That entity of Torah plus brachos, or brachos plus Torah, is a separate chiyuv, a daily chiyuv that we fulfill both as individuals, and it gets upgraded to the level of a darsha b'kedusha when the Torah is being read publicly on Shabbos, on Mondays and Thursdays, with brachos that precede the Kriyas HaTorah, followed by the Kriyas HaTorah and sandwiched by a bracha l'achreah. That entity is the fulfillment of a darsha b'kedusha when we recite the Torah publicly, together with its brachos. So again, there are two parallel entities here, both of which can be reduced to the following definition: to embellish the reading of Torah with brachos on an individual level and on a public level. The difference being that on an individual level, it's my daily kiyum chovasi b'taras yachid. On a communal level, it's a kiyum of darish b'kedusha. And we explained it by saying that when the tzibur recites Hashem's praises, that itself makes it into Darvish HaMikdusha, or alternatively, when the tzibur reads the Torah as a tzibur, and in the act, as we saw in the Rambam, in the act of Limud Torah, we have a Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. This is a Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim on the part of the tzibur. It is a duplicate, the duplication of Maimon Har Sinai, that makes it into a Dovash HaMikdusha, and the fact that the brachos themselves embellish the Kriyas HaTorah and form this one entity, which is a Dovash HaMikdusha. Yeah, right. That's part two. Yeah.
The Hayek utensil for this, for the individual, is the tzibur. And Pasuk is in the plural. And this
The question is the Yachid obligated to see to it that he fulfills together with another nine people this kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur? Or is it only the Tzibur as an entity, Kwa Tzibur, that's obligated in this mitzvah?
From what we have here, the pasuk, it seems it's just the Tzibur, but then maybe Rashi is using a Heki Timsel, like, from that, we see also for the Yachid.
Correct. So it might mean that Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, I don't know if I could commit Rashi's position, is a Chovas Yachid. Now, when you get to the Mishnah in Megillah, the Mishnah Megillah that at least the Ramban learns in Milchamis, that the Mishnah Megillah is only listing Chovas HaTzibur. It's not relating to the Chovas HaYochid, but Reb Chaim Brisker was of the opinion, and the Rav told us many times, that Chovas Kriyas HaTorah is incumbent upon the Yochid. That means Reb Chaim would get off a train, you know, on his way from one city to the next if he thought he was going to miss Kriyas HaTorah. He felt it was a personal, individual obligation. Rabosai, part three of the shiur. This is what I wanted to have a little fun with you about the bracha on sukkah. Tosas says, what's the difference between birchas haTorah, where I make the bracha once a day, that's the sheet of Tosas here, and I don't have to repeat the brachas over and over again, and sukkah. In sukkah, every time I leave the sukkah and I come back again, tzarech levarech, I have to make another bracha. The Shlomar, the Shani Torah, Shainu Miyash Daito, we discussed this at great length. The Gisa Boyoma Valila. But Avalachila Bisukka Yeshakvu. Now what I'd like to point out to you is that both in his question and in his answer, Tosas emphasizes Achila Bisukka. In his question he says, I'll call Suda Visuda Leshev Basukka. We recite a bracha on each Suda. In his answer, he says, Achila besukkah. And yesh la shakvua. And this, I believe, reflects the shita of Rabbeinu Tam, which is quoted by the Rush in the third perek of Sukkah. Namely, that the bracha on Sukkah is only recited on Achila. The Rambam in Hilchas Sukkah disagrees. And the Rambam says that kol zman sheikanes leishev b'sukkah, whenever he goes in to sit in the sukkah, kol shiva mevarech, for he makes a bracha kodem sheyeshev. Okay, so Rabbi Osei, on those two words kodem sheyeshev, we need a study unto itself. The Rambam actually holds that the overlas yosin is before he sits down. The Raiva disagrees, and on this machlokas Rambam and Raiva, we have the various minhagim of kiddush. Exactly when to recite the bracha of Leishev Basu. But that's, as I said, a subject that needs study unto itself. But be that as it may, one thing is crystal clear, that the Rambam holds that whenever you go into the sukkah, you have to recite a bracha. And in fact, Tosas does have such a sheet himself, not in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, but Tosas Tam says on Daf Chaf Hei that any time you go into the sukkah, you go in to take a teal, you go in to shmooze with a friend, you go in to sleep, and of course if you go in to eat, you recite a bracha on the sukkah. Rabbi Natam is quoted here in the Rush as saying, no, we only make a bracha on achila b'sukkah and not on any other activity in the sukkah. I think I brought a Gemara sukkah here, but sure enough, I don't find it. Where did I put it? Okay. In any event, the Rush in Sukkah says that Rabbeinu Tam holds you only make a bracha on achila b'sukkah. The Rambam holds that you make a bracha on every facet of yeshiva b'sukkah. Now, Rabosai, if I were to ask you, and I'm hoping we're on the same page here, with a knee-jerk response, which of the two shitas intuitively makes more sense? The Rambam, why should you limit the bracha to achila? What's the big deal about achila? I love achila, it's great, but the mitzvah is not achila v'sukkah. You don't say Asher Kedshanu mitzvot, it's Yivanu Lechol v'sukkah. The mitzvah is yeshiva v'sukkah. It's true that on the first night of sukkahs, there's a separate tiyuv, the Gemara derives from a pasuk, to eat in the sukkah. But even there I would say, it's not the achila that's the mitzvah, but rather the yeshiva v'sukkah. The achila is a method for yeshiva. The Keren Orah, for example, is famous for saying that the halach of mitzvah strichas kavana doesn't apply to the kezias that you have to eat on the first night of sukkah, because Tosu says on in the sugya of Rosh Hashanah that it says ochal matzah kafu lechal matzah. They forced them to eat matzahs yotza, and the Gemara says shmami no mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana. So the Ran over there Masechta Rosh Hashanah says that's because of achila. When it comes to achila, you don't need kavana. So the Keren Ora, and I think the Aruch Haner and other achronim want to say that on the first night of Sukkot you don't need kavana because it's a mitzvah achila. With regard to achila, mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana. And Reb Chaim used to disagree vehemently. He would say, no, the mitzvah is not achila. The mitzvah is yeshiva. The method by which I achieve yeshiva besukkah is achila, but it's not a separate chiyuv of achila. And yet Rabbeinu Tam insisted that we only make the bracha on achila. Rabosai, the picture becomes even more complex when we look at the Taz. The Taz in Tofresh Lamed Tes, which is the siman that's dedicated to the laws of Yeshiva B'Sukkah, when the Mechaber quotes this minhag of Rabbeinu Tam, She'ein levarach al sukkah elo b'shas achila, the Taz comes up with fantastical chiddush. And to some extent, he bases it on our Tosus in Masechta Brachos, because our Tosus says that achila is unique because it's an achila kvua. And he wants to say the Taz, after he quotes the Tosus at great length, he says, Mashma mizeh, de'afilu im hoya b'dayto hayom, lechol shtei pa'om b'sukkah. He's going to have breakfast in the sukkah, he's going to have lunch in the sukkah. Maybe only three times in the sukkah. Is tzarech levarech shenis. He's got to make a bracha a second time, for the second suda. Even though he has intention to eat the second suda, diim lokein ma makshim tosfis, the habitora vade daito lilmod achakach. He says that what is Tosfos bothered by? You should recite the bracha on Torah every single time you start learning Torah. He says, what kind of kash is that? He was daito lilmod, and if he was daito lilmod, he had intention to come back and learn in the afternoon or in the evening. So then that's why. That's why he has to make another bracha. He doesn't have to make another bracha. So the Taz is asking, what does that have to do with sukkah? Sukkah, he didn't have das to eat the second meal. The answer is that even though he did have das to eat the second meal, just like in Torah, he had in das, his intention was, that was his Seder Hayom, his luz for the day, was to learn Torah a second time and more. Nevertheless, one bracha suffices. Why is that different, factosis, from sukkah, where even though he has intention during the course of the day to eat one meal after the other, nevertheless, we have to recite a new bracha. The das does not alleviate him from a chiyuv bracha. And therefore the Taz comes to the conclusion, and this is how he paskins, that even though, with regard to, for example, Reach, with regard to the bracha on Besamim, he says that if he has das to smell one flower and then another flower, this and the other, he makes one bracha. But nevertheless, with regard to sukkah, even though his intention is to eat a second meal and a third meal, etc., nevertheless, he must recite a new bracha on every meal. V'chein l'Rabbeinu Tam shepasuk d'b'achila talya milsa. And Rabbeinu Tam says that when do you engender a chiyuv bracha on sukkah? That's only when you eat. Afilim ayad b'dayto lachzor v'lechol achar kach hu chayev l'vorech shenis. And it's not the same as birchas hareach, where every, if you had in mind to smell again and again and again, one bracha suffices. No. Here, with regard to sukkah, it's different. And every single suda requires another bracha, even though his intention was to eat the second suda. Says the Taz, Nira l'tareis, didafka b'sukkah, sheyesh bazman kavua, dahainu shas achila. He has a separate time that's designated for eating his suda. That gives a certain chshivas, a kvius to the suda. Is therefore, every time he eats a suda kvua, he's got to make a separate bracha. Tzarech levarech shenis al kol suda shnia. Why? Because there was a kvius. And even though he knew and he intended to eat the second suda, afilu mayu v'dayto mitchilo lechol, to eat, nevertheless, he still has to recite a second bracha. I don't know. He doesn't spell that out. But let's just ask two questions, and we'll see if maybe Birchas HaMazon will answer our question. But first, two questions. Number one, what would the Taz say if I didn't need a Suda Kavua? Let's say, for example, I decide I want to have a Nash. I want to have a little bit of Mizonos. Correct? Midi de Tirgamah, that the Gemara calls it in Pesachim. So it would seem from the Taz that if it's not a Kfiyas Suda, that's not where Rabbeinu Tam had in mind when he said that you make the Bracha on Achila. It's got to be a Suda Kavua. So then according to the Taz, it comes out that if I eat a Suda Sheina Kvua, if I decide to Chapanash, there used to be a restaurant, I don't know if it still exists, called Chapanash. No, it's gone? It was Moshe Plout, wasn't it? Okay. But he's still going well. I know he has a different organization. Alright, so even if I decide to Chapanash, if I were to make a bracha on that Nash in the Sukkah, it would be a bracha of Atola. That's what comes out according to the Taz. And secondly, if we ask the following question, according to the Taz, what's the difference between Shechita and Sukkah? What do I mean? You remember that we learned this Tosus in Chulin at great length. I think you may have it on one of your sheets. On Daf Pei Zayin. Tosus wants to know what happens if he shechts a number of animals and he was sach bein Shechita l'Shechita. And Tosus wants to know, Imtzarech lachzel levarech, and he compares it to Tefillin, and then at the end he says, no, Ein tzarech lachzel levarech. Why? He says, because there was no hesech hadas, and even though there was sicha, even though he schmoozes in between one shechita and the other, it doesn't matter. Ein tzarech lachzel levarech. And why is that so? Because there was no hesech hadas. So in other words, his intention was to slaughter many different animals, and Ein tzarech levarech, and this is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya, the Mechaber quotes another opinion, but the first opinion, the main opinion is, like this Paskon of Tosus, that Sicha itself, as long as there was no Hesech Hadas, his intention was to shech many animals, is one bracha suffices for all the animals that he shechts. You remember that? Does that ring a bell? We discussed that at great length. Now let's see how that would apply to Sukkah. If I had an intention to eat many different sudos, Ella what, I schmooze in between, so there was sicha, but there was no hesech hadas, and that's where the Taz goes out of his way, hoya b'dayto lachzar v'lechol sudacheres. Nevertheless, as opposed to shechita, where one bracha suffices for every single shechita, in the case of sukkah, we require a new bracha with each individual suda. The suda, because it has kvius, and it has a special status, and which engenders a chiyuv bracha, the das and the intention to make to eat the second suda is not enough to undermine my chiyuv bracha. So perhaps maybe birchas hamazon itself is, I don't know exactly. See, birchas hamazon is a mafsik in hilchas birchas hananim. I'm not sure that birchas hamazon would be a mafsik in hilchas birchas hamitzvah, meaning. We're crossing sort of political lines over here, because within the context of Birchas HaMitzvah, there's no such din as Birchas HaMazon. Birchas HaMazon is not in any way a blockage if I intend to extend my mitzvah. Meaning, I can be Mavarech Birchas HaMazon in between Mitzvah A and Mitzvah B. It doesn't separate the two mitzvahs. There is a halach of Hesech Hadas, but I don't know that Birchas HaMazon is a Hesech Hadas in mitzvahs.
What do you say?
Yeah. So what? Each meal requires a separate bracha.
Each meal is a mitzvah between the Atzma. It's such a line. I never thought Pesach, where the Shulchan Aruch says you have to eat 14 meals on Pesach.
So you're suggesting what? That maybe it's a separate mitzvah. Correct, but why is it different than another shechita? The second shechita is also a separate mitzvah. Narvas, it's the same mitzvah duplicated. If I duplicate the same mitzvah, then one bracha relates to every time I duplicate the mitzvah, as long as there's no hesech hadas. No, unless you want to say berchas hamazon is hesech hadas. So I don't know if that's so.
Right, but let me learn with you.
The 14 meals, Rabbi Eliezer, the mission is not a duplicated mitzvah. Each mishka is distinct and separate.
But how is it different than each shechita? Every animal is a separate shechita.
If I say,
right.
Right,
but that's halach again in Birchas Hanenin. But I don't know that the sukkah is in Birchas Hanenin. I don't know.
Based on achila kavua, and once I have in mind to stop eating, you know, through some kind of action of leaning towards benching,
right.
Once I bench, that kavua is open.
Right, so that's what you're saying, that the mitzvah of Suda Kavua and that yeshiva besukkah comes to its conclusion, its termination with Birchas HaMazon. But if I have das that after this Birchas HaMazon I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah again, and there was no hesek hadas again, if he leaves the sukkah and he decides, you know what, I'm going to work and I'll come back, or I'm going to on a tiyul, that's a different story. But he's not describing that situation. He's talking about a person who intends to eat the second suda. He didn't walk out of the sukkah even.
Here's a theoretical. We have suda shlishit in the sukkah, we have the minyan, we're going to daven maariv in the sukkah, and then we're going to make havdalah. During havdalah, I'm going to make leishe basukkah or not?
I don't know. Did he intend to recite Havdalah? If he did, so I don't see why one bracha shouldn't cover him. Why is it different than Shechita? That's my point.
You make Havdalah from Yontif, first day Yontif into Chol HaMoed, you don't make a Leishim anyway in the Sukkah. If you just go in the Sukkah of Havdalah,
it was Shabbos Chol HaMoed, whatever.
You don't make a Leishim.
You wouldn't make a Leishim?
Some people.
Oh, I was hoping there would be two minhagim. But for those who are knowing to make a separate bracha, how is it different than Shechita? You know. Okay, Rabosa. I have something very exciting to share with you. Okay, why is it that according to Rabbeinu Tam, sorry, put this away. Yes, Andy, put it over there if you don't mind. Why is it that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the bracha of Leishi Basukah is only on achil? That was the question that we wanted to raise. The Rambam, in a sense, is much, and it's also Shita Tosis, makes a lot more sense. Oh. So I want to share with you a Minchas Chinuch. This is one of my favorite Minchas Chinuchs, because this Minchas Chinuch is a methodological breakthrough. A lot of, I think, subsequent lumdus, what we call an analysis of Torah, really stands on the shoulders of this Minchas Chinuch. The Gemara in Sukkah Daf Tes establishes that since it says Shivas Yom Tasa Lecha Sukkos, or Sukkos Tasa Lecha, Lecha Lemu'ute Gzula. That excludes a stolen Sukkah. Exactly how you steal a Sukkah is another question, because Karkain and Gzula is fine. I don't get it. Why do I need the pasuk of lecha to exclude gzula? It's a mitzvah ba'avera. Who dates himself here to when we discussed a great length mitzvah ba'avera? Don't all answer at once. Okay. So therefore, Tosus says he doesn't understand why the pasuk of lecha lemute gzula is necessary, since we have a universal halacha of mitzvah ba'avera. Then Tosus goes on to say that perhaps mitzvah ba'avera is only d'rabbanan, and therefore we need a psul d'oraisa of lecha lemute gzula. But that gets into a lot of trouble, because mitzvah ba'avera is derived from psukim in the Torah, and it would seem to be clearly a psul d'oraisa. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch, and he wants to answer Tosus' kash. That's always a very courageous endeavor to embark upon. He says the following. In the mitzvah of sukkah, there are two parts. One part is the kiyum mitzvah. The other part is the iser of taking achila and eating outside the sukkah. Not only is there a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah, but in addition, there's an iser not to eat outside the sukkah. And to establish this, he quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says in Perek Vav Mihilchas Sukkah, just 1 second, I'll read to you the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says, Ochlin v'shosim v'yeshenim b'sukkah kol shiva b'mayom b'malayla. And then he writes v'asur lechol se'uda chutz l'sukkah kol shiva. Says the Minchas Chinuch, there are two parts to this Rambam. In the Reisha, the Rambam establishes a kiyum in the positive sense of achila, shasiya, and shena b'sukkah. Then the Rambam goes on to say that the flip side, in the negative, is a prohibition of eating a suda outside the sukkah. And then the Rambam goes on to differentiate between sudas keva and sudas haroi. Says the Minchas Chinuch, listen carefully, beautiful breakthrough. He says that if I only had the psul of mitzvah above avera, then I'm eating in a sukkah. You can't deny I'm eating in a sukkah. It's a stolen sukkah, albeit, but it's a sukkah nevertheless. And therefore, the psul of mitzvah above avera, I forfeit the kiyum mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah. You can't have a yeshiva and a sukkah gzula. That's called mitzvah above avera. But I haven't violated the isur of achila chutz l'sukkah. I'm eating in the sukkah. Comes along the Torah and adds the word lecha, lima'ute gzula, to pasel the cheftza shel sukkah. So let's understand, again, the Minchas Chinuch was before Reb Chaim Brisker, but let's understand the Minchas Chinuch in the language of Reb Chaim Brisker, if we could fast forward a century or two. Namely, that there are two dimensions to sukkah. There's one dimension of the cheftz of sukkah, and then there's another dimension of the kiyum agavra through his yeshiva besukkah. The psul of mitzvah b'aveira can only go so far. It can only undermine the kiyum agavra of yeshiva besukkah. You can't have a yeshiva besukkah gzula and obtain the kiyum mitzvah when it's bar b'aveira. But the cheft of the sukkah, well, mitzvah bar b'aveira doesn't passel, it doesn't in any way undermine the status of the sukkah b'cheftza. It's a cheft of a sukkah, and therefore you can't tell me and accuse me of eating outside the sukkah. Oh. However, now that there's a psul of lecha lemute gzula, that pasuk lecha lemute gzula is coming to describe the sukkah. One of the dinim of heksher sukkah, just like you need selsam rupsa michapsa, you need skak kosher, and so forth and so on, it's got to be lamata michapsa. One of the various dinim that describe the sukkah as a kosher sukkah is lemute gzula. A sukkah gzula does hasnikin sukkah, it's not a sukkah. And therefore, not only have you forfeited the kiyum of yeshiva b'sukkah because it was mitzvah baba veri, the kiyum agavra, you violated the isur of achila chutz l'sukkah because you're not sitting in a sukkah. The sukkah is disqualified b'cheftza, and therefore you're violating the isur of achila chutz l'sukkah. So I'll have you know that Reb Chaim, where I thought Reb Chaim would be very excited about this Minchas Chinuch, he would give it a very high grade, and Reb Chaim disagreed with the Minchas Chinuch. Reb Chaim was unwilling to assume that there's an Isur eating outside the sukkah. If you eat outside the sukkah, you forfeit the kiyum of sukkah. But there's no separate avera. Vushtein, where does it say in the Torah that there's an Isur to eat outside the sukkah? Said Reb Chaim, if you eat outside the sukkah, what you're doing is you're being mevatel a mitzvah saseh. Meaning, you have a chiyuv to eat that suda in the sukkah, and you're forfeiting that suda, that kiyuv.
How did you learn the Rambam then?
Oh, excellent. I don't know how he touches up the Rambam. We'll come back to that in a minute. But here Reb Chaim asked the following question. And he suggested that when we analyze the concept of being mevatel a mitzvah, you can't be mevatel a mitzvah. He says the following, that there are two categories that are fundamentally different, two categories of bitul a mitzvah, bitul mitzaseh. For example, let's say that on Sukkot, I don't buy a lulav for Sukkot. Before Sukkot, I don't buy a lulav. That's one kind of bitul aseh. There's another kind of bitul aseh. If I have a lulav in front of me and I burn it, I chop it up into pieces, I destroy a lulav. What's the difference between bitul aseh X and bitul aseh Y? Correct. One is bikum aseh and one is b'shev yalta. To take a lulav and destroy it, that's already a bitul mitzvah al yidei maisa. That's an active bitul mitzvah. It's not just that I didn't take a lulav. I had the lulav and I destroyed it. He gave another example of Chaim. He said, what happens if you're walking down the street and you see an opportunity of shiluach hakan. You know, you can send away the mother bird. So if you turn the other way, that's one kind of bittul aseh. But if, let's say, you take the mother bird and you shecht it, that's a different kind of bittul aseh. Then you actively destroy the aseh. And Rav Chaim wants to suggest the following. That what makes achila besukkah unique? He says that achila is designated for a bittul aseh bikuvah aseh. Meaning, if I eat outside the sukkah, not the way the Minchas Chinuch would say that I violated an Iser. There's no Iser. But there's a geder of bittul aseh bekum vaseh. I actively am mevatel the aseh. That, says Reb Chaim, is unique to achila. Every other form, and there are many forms and expressions of yeshiva besukkah, fall into some sort of a general potpourri, a general category of yeshiva besukkah. But you wouldn't say that if he sleeps outside the sukkah, or if he takes a walk outside the sukkah, or if he learns Torah outside the sukkah, that he was mevatel the mitzvah of sukkah b'kum vaseh. The unique status, said Rav Chaim, of achila besukkah, was that an achila besukkah, if you take that achila outside the sukkah, the halacha defines that action of achila chutz sukkah as a bittul aseh bekum vaseh. It's almost like violating an Isur, but it's not the same as violating an Isur. I don't know if Rav Chaim would have gone as far as to say that you have to give up every last penny in your pocket. You know, the Gemara says, al yivaz beis yosef michomesh, but for an avera, to avoid Navera, is Afilu, even the shirt off his back he has to give out. I don't know exactly, but Reb Chaim is saying that there are three levels. There's one level of Kiyum Mitzvah Saseh, to take my Achila into the Sukkah. There's a second level, says Reb Chaim, of Bittul Aseh, when I don't do whatever I have to do in the Sukkah, I do it outside the Sukkah. Within Bittul Aseh, Reb Chaim used to subgrade it into two subdivisions. Number one, there's a Bittul Aseh B'kum Aseh, and there's a Bittul Aseh B'shei V'alt Aseh. If I do whatever I do outside the Sukkah, that's called B'shei V'alt Aseh. I should have taken it into the Sukkah. I didn't avail myself of a yeshiva B'sukkah. That's a Bittul Aseh. But if I ate outside the Sukkah, that's what the Rambam means, that you're not allowed to eat outside the sukkah. Don't take the Rambam literally, says Reb Chaim, that you violate some sort of avera when you eat outside the sukkah. What kind of avera did you violate? Where did the Torah say you're not allowed to eat outside the sukkah? The Torah said you have to eat in the sukkah. Narva, said Reb Chaim, the Isur is because you actively were mevatel the essay. You took the essay and biyadayim, you did the opposite of the essay. Not the way the Minchas Chinuch would have it, that it's a violation of an avera. But on both sides, what are... Yeah, go ahead, Mitch.
Okay, because the same Rambam says that you eat achilas arai outside the sukkah, and he specifically says in terms of Shana, don't even think about it. You can't sleep outside the sukkah. And he's much more mocked than Shana.
Which Rambam are you referring to when he says later on that you're not allowed to sleep outside the sukkah?
Yeah, even he says achilas arai is okay outside the sukkah, but Shana Sarai, forget it.
Right. But again, he doesn't use the word Iser. You know, what the Minchas Chinuch and Reb Chaim are focusing on is the word Iser. When the Rambam says, also lechol besukkah. You know, if he sleeps outside the sukkah, that's a bittul aseh. And therefore, he has to refrain from doing that. Well, you mean to say that even a Shana Sarai, that your...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, but that's a different issue. In other words, with regard to Shana, I would say that even a Shana Sarai is considered like a Shana Skva. I mean, that's again a different discussion for us. That has to do with tefillin, for example. Are you allowed to sleep when you're wearing tefillin? Is a Shana Sarai different than a Shana Skva? And why in Sukkah it's not the same? That's an important discussion. But the Rambam never says that there's an Iser to sleep outside the Sukkah, because sleeping outside the sukkah, even a sleeping of Arai, is a bittul aseh. And therefore you can't do it. But when the Rambam speaks about achila outside the sukkah, he upgrades it to an iser. And here we have machlokas how to interpret the Rambam. According to the Minchas Chinuch, an iser means literally an iser. You're not allowed to eat outside the sukkah. According to Reb Chaim, what you do is you upgrade and you make your bittul aseh into a more severe bittul aseh by giving it the status of a bittul aseh b'kum vaseh. But let's just conclude with the following statement. Both, according to Minchas Chinuch and Reb Chaim, achila has a separate status. And that is, either according to Minchas Chinuch, achila outside the sukkah is a maisa isur, Or according to Reb Chaim, it's a bittul essay b'kuv v'asei, and that gives it a special status. And therefore, I think we could suggest that since achila has been designated, has been singled out amongst all the various pe'ulos, all the various activities that constitute yeshiva v'sukkah, the whole array of pe'ulos, achila has a special status. And therefore, the Rishonim, Rabbi Nutam, the way he's quoted by the Rosh, insist that when the Chachamim established a bracha on sukkah, they established a bracha on that action, which singularly has a status of its own with regard to Yeshiva B'Sukkah amongst the entire constellation of actions, all of which are included on the Yeshiva B'Sukkah. Achila has a special status, and that's why if you eat outside the Sukkah, you violate an Isur or a Kumvaseh, B'Bitul Aseh B'Kumvaseh. Therefore, since Achila was singled out as the unique nature of yeshiva, it's not just general yeshiva, but it's specific yeshiva of achila. Therefore, Chazal were misaking that the bracha of yeshiva besukkah should be on what? On achila. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here.
I have a question on the first part.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Who remembers the first part?
How would you look at the thing that we do commonly in shul? A second kriya of Parsha Zohar requiring a minyan but not requiring a bracha. What is that?
When you say the second, you mean because of the Nusach Sfarad, or what are we talking about?
Every shul says, you know, we have a second laning Parsha Zohar.
For the ladies or something?
Yeah, we insist on a minyan, we take out the bracha, read it, absolutely no bracha. What is it? What are we doing? We have to have a minyan, but we absolutely have,
because there I would say that the bracha is related to the kriya itself. Meaning, it's not just that I at any point in time or whenever I feel like reading a certain particular parasha that captures my fancy, I get together 10 people and I create a Dovah Shebekdusha. No. Chazal established that a Dovah Shebekdusha has to fit and has to fulfill certain specific conditions. It's not just a hefker, it's not just an anarchy. And therefore, if you're repeating... if you have 10 people who did not hear Parsha Zohar, again, I don't know if women are obligated to Parsha Zohar, that's a gigantic machlokas, but then for sure they should recite the bracha. But if you have 10 people who already heard the kriya, and you're just reading it for the following reasons, you know, maybe there's someone who need to hear and didn't get a chance to hear, then I don't know if you'd make the bracha.
I'll bet there are guys that slip into that second minyan too.
All right, if there are 10 of them, then I would say that's why should that be different than any Christmas? Maybe we should go around and ask each person. Did you hear the parasha?
I'm still interested in the definition of the Dovah Shebekdusha. What is the Tzavashava of the things mentioned in the Mishnah and the Gila? Why is Hashtar a Dovah Shebekdusha? What is Birchas Chasonim or Birchas Aveilim?
Right, the Birchas Chasanim is a big machlokas. When the Gemara says Ein Dovah Shebekdusha, it refers to Birchas Chasanim. But according to those poskim who say that Birchas Chasanim is a Dovah Shebekdusha,
where is the Mishnah?
Chof Gimel and Beis. You got to get a Gemara Megillah here. No, I had one on the table.
You gave it on one of the sheets.
Oh, good, good, good. If it's on one of the sheets, that's even better.
In Parsi Mahashma, in Ovin Lifnei HaTeva, in Nusin's Kapeya, I always thought the definition was a Kriya Ba'aniya. Which is, but that doesn't apply to Maftim Banovi, Enusim Ma'amar Moshe, Enomir Birkas Aveilin, Tachon.
Right. So you're going to have to add a few different categories here. One of the main categories, I think, of a Dovah Shebekdusha is to proclaim God's intervention
that's Rushi stuff. I'm talking about halacha definition.
That's halacha. I'd say it's called Eidus B'Yisrael. Eidus B'Yisrael requires us.
An important distinction: the Kriyas HaTorah, is it the Baruch Hu for example, if you have a Kriyas HaTorah for women,
right.
Right? For those who would permit such a thing, they don't say Baruch Hu, because there's no Dovashu, there's no Minyan.
No. So what
but
do
they say? They say Kriyas HaTorah. They even, let's say they even make a bracha, but no, they don't say Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu is a din of Dvarsha B'Kusha. You need a Minyan.
Yeah.
That's a given. So they define Kriyas HaTorah per se as not needing a Minyan.
Ah. So they have to go with the first approach that Kriyas HaTorah is not a Dvarsha B'Kusha. It is an occasion that warrants Baruch Hu, and the Baruch Hu is a Dvarsha B'Kusha. I mentioned that as a possibility, but in Shir I was more inclined to think that since the Mishnah omits any remez, any mention of Baruch Hu, that the Kriya itself is a Dvarsha B'Kusha. But that breaks new ground. I mean, where's the Kedusha in Kriyas HaTorah? You're just reading a parsha in the Torah.
So I don't know what a Dover paper.
So I suggested that either it's because Talmud Torah has an element of Kabbalah Solmach Hashemayim with the Rambam at the beginning of Kriyas Shema.
That makes a lot of sense.
And Kabbalah Solmach Hashemayim is a Dover Shema Kedusha. Or alternatively, maybe we could suggest that just the repetition or the duplication of Maimon Har Sinai, that elevates the Kriya to the level of Dover Shema Kedusha. And that explains why we need Amida. That explains why we need a minyan. You know, a lot of dinim begin to haftorah.
What aspect of haftorah?
I don't know if Kriyas HaTorah changes from Torah from Chamisha Chumshei Torah Mikra to Nevi'im. In other words,
my son asked me they're going to have a bar mitzvah. His bar mitzvah Shabbos Shuvah, but they're coming here for Hanochas Tefillah. So he's going to read the Haftorah before his bar mitzvah.
Where? At the Kotel? Like?
No, they're going to Shalavim, actually.
No, but I'm saying he's going to read the Haftorah
that Shabbos.
That Shabbos, so and it's before his bar mitzvah?
Before his bar mitzvah.
The Torah's Katan, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay. Cotton. Yeah, Katan could read the Haftorah. It's no
same
problem.
Same as Irish. So my son asked me, does he say the brachas as well for the Haftorah? So for what I remember, yeah, and everybody says, yeah, that's not
before.
But then I remembered this Mishnah that says you need a minyan for Haftorah. So maybe you need him for, maybe he has to be part of the minyan for the. And the end result is that he can't say it. But it just tweaked my brain that
would also seem to indicate, I think, if the poskim allow in such a case the cotton to read the brachas. That might indicate that the brachas themselves is not what engenders the Dvar Shabbos, it's the Kriya. And since the Tzibur is reading, or alternatively, maybe the fact that the Tzibur is answering Amen, maybe that itself, it doesn't bother me. In other words, this could depend upon the machlokes between the Ramban and Reb Chaim about whether Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas Yachid or Chovas Tzibur. You know, Reb Chaim would be hard pressed to explain why is it that a Katan could be Ola El Shiva, and in the case of HaTorah, he reads HaTorah. I mean, if it's a Chovas Yachid, then we should. Ah, so that's what Reb Chaim used to say, that even as a Chovas Yachid, it's not the Maisa Kriya, it's creating this entity called a Cheftah Shel Torah B'Tzibur. For example, you know, Reb Moshe was once asked about a Bal Kori who had in mind that Dafka, he didn't want to be Motzi, someone in the Tzibur. And Reb Moshe said, irrelevant, that has nothing to do. Because it's not that Yotza Motzi, that he does a Maisa Kriya that relates to each individual. His Maisa is only to create the entity of a Cheftza Shel Torah. And I think Reb Moshe used to talk and bring the proof from Cotton or from Isha, that you see that it's not the Maisa Kriya of the Kore that relates to each individual member of the Tzibur, but the Maisa Kriya engenders an entity, and that entity is a Cheftza Shel Torah. And that Torah is being read with Tzibur. So that shouldn't bother Reb Chaim then, why the Katan is going to make the brachas when he's Ola Leminyan or he's Ola Lehaftorah. But you're right, I mean, the concept of Dvar Shabbakdusha seems to be a multifaceted concept. It's not like uniform, it's not two-dimensional. It really encompasses a lot of different things.
Yeah,
it really touches on the issue of what is Kiddush Hashem.
Yeah.
Because the Davar Shebekdusha means a Kiddush Hashem. When 10 people get together and the Makadish Hashem, for example, Kaddish. Kaddish itself is a Davar Shebekdusha.
Right.
Why? Because again, Yiskadol v'Yiskadish Me'rabah, we're declaring the Kiddushas Hashem in front of 10 people. And therefore, if a Chassan comes in front of 10 people and he says, look, God, you're the one who chose this woman for me, it was Me Hashem Ish Le'isha, that's called a Kiddush Hashem. That's Eidus B'Yisrael. I'm testifying publicly in
the
front of its
seat. Is Kriya V'Aniya. There has to be an Amin Ishmael Rabbah. That's right. There has to be a public thing.
Right.
The Rav said, and the Rav defines Atifas Talus by Dover Shebekdusha. Any Dover Shebekdusha requires Atifa. So he learns it from Yud Gimel Midos, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Hashem Kelachim.
Right, the Gemara.
Satif Hakadosh Baruch
Hu. Right.
And that's a Dover Shebekdusha. That's why you need a minion for that.
So I don't understand. Is the Rav assuming that every single thing on that list of the Mishnah and the Megillah requires Atifa?
No. About that, but he spoke elsewhere.
Right. I'm just wondering if he. Maybe if we can get to the point in which we subdivide Davar Shebekdusha into various categories, and it's not all Miksha Achas, then we could explain that maybe when the Rav requires Atifa for Davar Shebekdusha, he meant a certain type of Atifa. So a certain type of Davar Shebekdusha.
We have to see what he says on the Mishnah there in Megillah.
Right.
We haven't gotten to Megillah yet in terms of this.
Right. I think there are Chidushim of the Rav on Megillah. I don't know if I mean, I have them somewhere, but I don't know where to find anything.
Only he could see something like that.
Right. For example, I would think that if it's Eidus B'Yisrael, and it requires a minyan b'toris Eidus of Kiddush Hashem, I don't think you would require a tifa. But maybe when it's Shevach, when it's public praise of the Tzibur, and we appoint, and maybe in that sense the brachos embellishing the Talmud Torah is also a public praise, then we require a tifa. Who's... Well, whoever it is, I think, I assume he'll be back. Okay, it's Derech Inuach.
Yeah, Shikoach.
Shikoach to you.